Okay, so let's review what we saw yesterday. Someone remind me what we saw yesterday.
We were trying to figure out
the nature of the mitzvah, if there is one, of Yerusha Bechor. So we saw that Rami had either been influenced by the Rambam or intuited the same position as the Rambam. What? You're a Gilgal of the Rambam, yes, exactly. If the Rambam believed in Gilgulim, you would be a Gilgal of the Rambam. Okay, how about that? So, Rami, like the... What? Came back as a bridge? I don't even know his bridge. Okay. So anyway, so Rami channeled the Rambam and he said, look, even though the Psukim have charged language of mitzvot aseh, mitzvot lo taseh, they don't mean it. It's just that you need to say that when you would want to break from the normal rules of Yerusha, don't do it. But fundamentally, this is just a subset of the rules of Yerusha. And that's how Rami understood it. The Ramban argues that there's both an aseh and a lo taseh. A lo taseh to diverge from the Bechor in general, not just in the case where it's be for the beloved son in favor of the, you know, against the non-favored son, but in general, and an aseh to proactively ensure that that son gets it, to recognize him in his lifetime. Haredim focused seemingly only on the positive. And then we had left off with the very odd position, or surprising position, the Ramban, Al HaTorah, who adds yet another point, which is that there seems to be a double level here. Because he argues that the default is that the Bechor always gets double, whether or not the Bechor is alive during the is alive when the inheritance happens. However, even though that's the default, the mitzvah navera of changing from that status does not exist unless the Bechor is alive. Right? And therefore, we suggested several possibilities and how exactly to do that formulation, why it is that maybe the mitzvah relates to the brother, to the son being alive and responsibilities towards him, or who knows, the status in the family, which doesn't really exist after he's got the whole life. Okay, that's where we had left off. The posteg, who really brings this into conversation to figure out what this means and whether we recognize it lahalacha, is the Ketzer HaChoshen. So who is the Ketzer HaChoshen? I'm sure Ezra already looked it up. Since he's been responsible for biographies all year, hopefully by next year, right, this will stick with you, Ezra. Aryeh Heller, very good. The Ketzer HaChoshen writes one of the major commentaries on Choshen Mishpat, on the monetary parts of Shulchan Aruch. His frequent he frequently argues with Nitzivat HaMishpat, who is the other commentary of that genre on Choshen Mishpat, whose name was Yaakov ben Yaakov Loiberbaum. I don't know why Yaakov ben Yaakov, but if you have a son Yaakov and you want him to be named for the Nitzivat, then that's how you'll do it. Yaakov ben Yaakov. Yes. Ashkenazim can't name. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have a friend who is, you know, very Ashkenazi, but married into a very Sephardi family, and that was actually one of the conditions when they got married, was that he would name his firstborn son after his father-in-law to follow the minhag in that community. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's a great solution, Ezra. Okay, fine. So the Ktot, or the Ktois, and Tzimun Reish Pe'alef brings up the following. He says, Bechori lo yitzol pishnayim, if someone says, my firstborn should not get the double portion. So Katav Ramban, Bidazagotav, dot, dot, dot. Right? I gave you the dot, 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 because you should already know what he says. He quotes the Ramban in full. But then he notes that in order to fully understand the sugya, you have to go to the sugya that I didn't give you inside, because I didn't want you to obsess over it like Rami is currently doing, but then Rami, well, I don't know what just happened. What just happened? I know. That's why I'm asking. You needed a tissue. Okay, that makes sense. So he references you to the Gemara that's driving Rami crazy on Kuf Lamed, where you're introduced to the position of Ryochanan ben Broka, which, again, is a sugya in and of itself. So for the moment, we'll just have to suffice with what he says. What does he say, Rami? Broka. Yes, very good. Right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka quotes the pasuk. V'haya v'yoman chilo et banav. HaTorah netzna rishut la'av lehanchil. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka picks up on the fact that lehanchil is active. Right? Is active rather than passive. Lehanchil, to bequeath. From here he derives that the bequeather has a certain level of authority over the path that the inheritance will take. And therefore, he says that you can give the inheritance to whoever you want. And Amar le Abaye, Amilo yuchal levaker nafka. Be'er shashmah, mida Amar rachmana lechelek b'chorei niyachol la'avir. Mikal lechelek p'shidud yachol l'shanot. And Rashbam explains that how did he get there? Based on Abaye. So Abaye says he got it because only in the context of Bechor does it say you cannot change. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka knew that by regular Yerusha you can, and it's only in Bechor that you can't play around with it. Yes? So he uses this as his starting point. He assumes that this is the source for the Ramban. This idea that there's an extra problem to change Yerusha when it comes to Bechor that's not true of other Yerusha. Yes? He's saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Abaye says, how did he know that you can play around with Yerusha? Because the Torah says you can't play around with Yerusha of Bechor. But if it tells you that, that implies that maybe by other Yerusha you can play around.
So you have to have at least three subs to play around. The first sub you can't play around, you have to be controlled. Then,
presumably you just get four to the
regular
sub. So if you have two, then you can just...
No. Because if you think you can't play around with Bechor, you can't do that.
But
you can't do that. Yes.
No. Like, presumably,
yes.
That's not like the horse. But if you have to do something, you can just, like, take.
That's playing around. I understand. That's playing around.
So
we're talking about the sons that aren't the Bible. Yeah, on the Pshutim. So he says, the Ksot says, if he did Rei Haramban, So the Ksav said, I don't understand. According to the Ramban, this doesn't prove anything because, as we've noted, when you say don't do something, it can either mean you cannot or you may not. And how does, according to Ramban, you could have distinguished as follows. You could have said, yes, the Torah says only by Bechor that you can't play around with it, but maybe that means that by Bechor you can't and may not play around with it, and by the regular inheritance you cannot, but if you try, you didn't violate a law, it just didn't work. Meaning, understand? Right, so he says, and maybe according to the Ramban, you would. How does he know that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka that you can, that you may not? Maybe it's just you. So that you may and can by regular Yerusha. Maybe it's you cannot and may not even try when it comes to Bechor, and you simply cannot. But there is no problem to try because it just won't work by the Chelek HaPshitut, by the non Bechor.
So we still have to figure out how in that.
If we were learning Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka now, yes.
Right, so what about the fact that he really doesn't contradict Tanakama? Because Tanakama seems to say that you cannot and may not.
Correct, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says you may.
Right, but he's talking about two different things.
What do you mean? They're talking about two different things.
But is Tanakama talking about if you give your
Yeah, so that gets in the good. Yes, okay, fine. But again, that's why I was holding off on Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. For now, I just want to focus on what's relevant here. But yes, the reason I didn't give you Kuf Lamed was for this reason, because it's a fascinating sugya, but it's its own sugya. I hope we get to it. I really do. וכן בסמוך שם ויאמר אלו יוכל לבקר מתם לו יום המחיל הבנב שיכול לדינו מה בכל שהוא רכו חושן אינו דברי כמוכזה כמו שלא יוכל לבקר פשוט שיאף את כוח לו כל שכן תמלו אומר ויאב יום המחיל הבנב. The Gemara there furthermore tries to say, well, in a certain sense Bechor is weaker than other Yerusha Yorshim, so why is it that he's stronger in this regard? This is something that we'll talk about tomorrow, which is called Ra'i Kibimukhzak. Is do you, okay, I'll tell you now because you're going to need this tomorrow, so please remember this, you understand it tomorrow. Mukhzak is property that you already hold. Ra'ui are things that you will get, you have rights to, but you don't have yet. Okay, so Mukhzak is like Yaakov has his Gemara, right? That is Mukhzak. If I owe him money, right, that's Ra'ui. Right? Meaning it's counted to his name, but he doesn't currently hold on to it. So the halacha is that regular Yorshim inherit Ra'ui and Mukhzak, but Bechor only inherits Mukhzak. And therefore, the double portion he only gets in Mukhzak, but not Ra'ui.
Wait, so you don't double point it as currently being possessed,
but
how can you potentially inherit?
No, no. I mean, when the father dies,
yes.
So all Mukhzak is divided equally amongst the sons, and Bechor gets double. And Ra'ui is also divided equally.
Ra'ui means not that he's owed the father.
Yeah, right. So if the father has $1 million of assets and $1 million that's owed to him, so the first million,
yeah,
let's say he has three sons, right? So you're dividing in four. You have Bechor and two other sons. You're dividing in four.
Right.
So the million that he's owed, so the million that he holds, the Mukhzak, is divided four ways. Two quarters, i.e. half, go to the Bechor, so he gets $500,000, and the other two get $250,000. But of that which he's owed, it's divided three ways, because the Bechor doesn't get double in Ra'ui. He is treated like another, like any other brother in Ra'ui. He gets double of Mukhzak, single of Ra'ui. Is that clear?
Yeah, that's clear. But what if the father left behind
it? How does that work? It's taken from the estate, proportionally. Yeah, it's taken from the estate proportionally.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember when I was in my second year of YU, so the undergraduate newspaper, the commentator, has Pesach time. They usually write a Gemara, like a fake Gemara, with Yeah. Like it's a classic Purim thing. So the second year in YU, I was asked to be involved with it, and that was the year of the Madoff scandal. So and we were learning Baba Basra. So it was me and Jerry Karp, and we wrote the Gemara and the Rashi, I think, and I think Jesse Limpel wrote Tosfot. It was fun, but at some point in it. One of the big things during the year had been that earlier in the year, YU said they had lost $100 million because of the Madoff scandal. And then later in the year, they said, no, we only lost $16 million, $14 million, right? What was the difference? Right. The difference was how much money they had actually invested with Madoff and how much they thought they had, right? Right, they looked like they had $100 million less than they thought, but they'd only actually invested whatever it was, like $14 million, and this had been years later, and it turned out that that money and everything that would have been produced from it, they didn't actually have, right? So, and this became like one of the big things around YU that year, so we included that in our fake Gemara. I give this to Jerry. Jerry wrote this line, right? Which was right that the right Yatzvu HaTalmidim Kamei de Rabbi Joel, right? Right, the Talmidim sat in front of Rabbi Joel, right, obviously in Aramaic, right? Vibo kama kesef hefsida hayeshiva mitoch ma'isa de Madoff, right? Amar lei sheish esrei million. Vaha at amart lanu mea million. Right, lo kasha hapi roi hapi muhsak. Right, so that's the difference of roi and muhsak. Okay.
So confused by the Yeshiva law.
Meaning they had X number in stocks, right, which were fake because it was a Ponzi scheme. So they had 100 million less than they thought they did, but they'd only invested a certain, right? They hadn't invested 100 million.
They lost 100 million to make money. It's not just about make money, they lost.
Right, so they lost of what they had actually invested, but this had been years ago, right? So it had been building for years, and they thought...
Not building.
They thought it had been building, right?
So they,
Yeah, yeah. So, but the question of how much they actually lose depends on what you look at, right? If you're looking at what did they, yeah, fun times. What? Yes. It has not reached where it was now.
Okay, so in terms of what your kind of work is in terms of being flexible, I mean, then you can't be comfortable with the buffer involved, you know, because...
Yeah, yeah.
Because that means talking about more stuff and not be like, you more
Well, the Ra'u does, yeah, meaning, yes, exactly, right? Meaning it's the chelek of Bechor, right? The portion that goes to Bechor as double. Yeah, meaning... Correct. And therefore, he, for that purposes, he's treated like anybody else. And then, yes, according to Rabbi Yochanan Vibroka, the, exactly. Right, because it's not the person, the Bechor, it's the chelek of Bechor, right? But that, in Ra'u, he's treated like a regular son, because there is no din of Bechor. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So this will be important tomorrow, this Ra'u Mochtak distinction. So he says, based on that, so the Gemara had said, how come, on the one hand, Bechor is weaker because he only inherits from Muchtak, right, his double portion. On the other hand, you say, but you can't take those rights away from him. Isn't that contradictory? No, he only inherits his Bechor status from Muchtak property. Meaning, it's weaker in the sense that, right, the unique portion that he gets, he only gets from more solid property. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right, the tebuk lay milo yuchal levakel onish makal the chelik pshitut yuchal onishon kevin the gavu yuchor milta achritahu the chadid the heinul mekim belav mashing v'shayrushut lucky surah. Right, and the Gemara what it ends up saying is that look that's one halacha, but at the end of the day the Isser is telling you yeah you can't play around with the chelik habachor but olam lo ani mazav feel v'shayrushut but maybe you would have said that it doesn't work by other yerusha da 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 da. Right, so basically his question at the end of the day is why does the Ramban derive from here an Isser? Maybe what it really means, how does Ramban understand this Gemara? Why don't you just say that, look, it doesn't work for anybody, it just is only Usher to try by Bechor, right? Because once you have this factor around, I mean the question of whether does it work or is it Usher to even try, right? You can't simply prove from that Pasuk that it only applies to Bechor, because maybe only half of it applies to Bechor, and the other half applies to everyone, meaning the Isser only applies to Bechor. So v'nira demuchim yichiv lo yuchal levaker, di Isser alav greid havel anamimer lo yivaker. Tomas goes in Ramban, v'chim lichiv lo yuchal levaker, gilu gulei namig lo ani maithavim, v'in shavar muchim yushar yushit yachal lishanot. And he said the real reason is because the Isser itself is framed in cannot rather than may not terminology. Because it doesn't say lo yivaker, it says lo yuchal yivaker. And from there you learn that the Bechor is both limited in terms of ability as well as prohibited, but implying that neither aspect of that, the way Rabbi Yochanan Broka reads it, is that neither aspect of that applies by regular Bechor, by regular Yorshim, and therefore it neither is possible, nor it's possible and not usher by other yorshim. Okay, that's how he reads this Gemara. Now, in the middle here, I'm not going to read through the whole middle section here, but he notes that Tosvot invokes the sugya that I mentioned several times of in Tzmura. Of kol milta damar rachmana i'avid mahani i'avid lo mahani. The question of in general, when you do something that's usher, does that mean it's usher for trying, or it actually doesn't work, right? So Tosfos invokes that Gemara, And he just said, according to the position that you can never change it, right? The kol ma'adam rahman alo zavidi avid mahani, right? The oh, love it, am I mahani, am I lucky, right? He invokes that sugya, right? And it goes to the whole thing, right? So he says, how does that work here? Because why don't you just say, lo yuchal avakeren, we would know that already. Wait until he goes through this. I won't go through too much, but again, what he does in that paragraph is really brings it into conversation. And then he goes back to the Ramban, the mitzvah l'anchilo v'chen sheyodia otanu. And he notes that that the Ramban had added, right, this idea, al ha-Torah, that the Isser part of it, or the lack of ability to change, only applies in the lifetime of the Bechor. I'm sorry, that's in the next paragraph. Right here, he goes back to Ramban and has another question than the Ramban, which is that the Gemara and Daf Kochazayin uses Yakir for a different set of halachos, right? Namely, that Debarat Bayi Hekera. So he, right, later on the Gemara has this very strange position that, though we actually pop in this way, that a Bechor is only Bechor if you know that he's a Bechor. But let's say the father has two sons, he doesn't know which one the Bechor, no one ever knew, then we don't treat them as the Bechor. Because you actually need to a moment of recognition by the father in order to be recognized as a Bechor. But he's according to Ramban, this is very weird because we already used the Pesukim Lo Yochal Avakeher for the prohibitions. And therefore, what the Ktos notes is that, right, there is a lot of tension, meaning you can defend the Ramban, but there are a lot of Gemaras that seem to use Lo Yochal Avakeher in other ways, right? And that's why he leaves the Kait Tarachir. Okay, so the first thing to notice is that the Gemara does pay attention to the same psukim as the Ramban, but it uses it for a lot of different halakha that do create a certain amount of tension understanding as the Ramban. Okay, in Sif Dalid, the Ktos notes that the Ramban's claim that whatever mitzvah there is only true when the Bechor is alive, and when the Bechor is dead, there's a default, but not a mitzvah. He argues that this is not agreed upon. So if you look at, did you get to this part of the Ksos? From the Maharit? Okay. Katav b'tshuvat Maharit. I know part of it's my fault. I was schmoozing with you. I'm sorry. So the Maharit says, in Chashem Mishpat, the following question. Yaakov ayalo shtei banim. Yaakov had two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is a Bechor, and he dies, and Reuven has a son, and then Yaakov dies. Okay, we're clear so far? Reuven has two sons. Yaakov has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a kid, and then Reuven dies, predeceases Yaakov. We're clear so far? Yeah? Fine. And then Yaakov dies. So now the heirs are Reuven's son and Shimon. Yes?
Yeah.
Yaakov, before he dies, Kivalev Nemo Toshia Chalku, Kol Nechse Izmano, Karko Nechasim, Ben Shem Chatayim. And Yaakov had, before he died, said he wanted 50% to go to Shimon and 50% to go to Reuven's son. Meaning, to not treat Reuven's son as the son of the Bechor, which would have given two-thirds to Reuven's son and one-third to Shimon, but rather to give 50-50. So he was asked whether he's allowed to do that. And what did he say? Tshuva, ben bechor no tel pishnayim, afil yejidim sh'amar av ken v'shad mitel omar klum, the Reuven, and therefore Reuven's kids, automatically get double. And even if there are witnesses who say that he explicitly didn't want that to happen, doesn't matter. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, even though he says you can play around with Yerusha, davka b'b'chilek pshitur b'b'chilek b'chor alo, you're only allowed to play around with the inheritance of regular sons and not Bechor. What? But here, since the Reuben sons are inheriting by dint of the Bechora, you can't play with it. So what does the Ktos correctly point out? That what does the Maharit not hold? He doesn't hold the Ramban. Right? Because the Ramban holds that the limitations on playing around the Chelek of the Bechora and the Mitzvah is only when he's alive. But once he's dead, there's no problem. And therefore, since this is a case where Reuben is dead, and it's Reuben's son who's inheriting the Chelek of Bechor, the default would go to Reuben, but if the father explicitly didn't want it, it wouldn't work. It would work. Right? But the Maharit clearly doesn't hold that. And therefore, the Ktos says, Amnan Ramban, he quotes the Ramban, who says this? So look at just two lines in the bottom. Vim came, Benidon Maharit, came and Shemeda Bechor, let the Lachdin the Bechor. According to the Ramban's analysis, in such a case, there would be no problem. But la halacha, what does the Ktos say? That we passed in like the Ramban. Right? And he argues that had the Maharit known that the Ramban argued, he never would have said what he said. He would have deferred to the Ramban, and therefore the halacha of the Ktos actually paskins like the Ramban. However, as he knows, Maharit doesn't. Right? Now, as he claims the Maharit would have changed his mind. Right? But we don't know that that's true. Right? The Maharit, at any rate, does not paskin like the Ramban. Whether or not he would have changed his mind, I don't know. Okay. Until now, we've assumed that whatever the mitzvah is, or however you understand Bechor, whose mitzvah is it? The father. Right? It isn't related to the father. However, there is another shita, and that emerges from Tosfos and Daf Yud Bet. Okay? I'm taking you didn't get there, but let's go to Tosfos and Daf Yud Bet. We've done this before. We've done this sugya before. This is from our favorite sugya, Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Remember Dina de Bar Mitzvah?
Yeah.
Remind me what Dina de Bar Mitzvah is. We did it a long time ago. Yes, Ezra? No. Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Very good. The right, very good, Ezra. It always takes a try. Right? Dina de Bar Mitzvah is that if Yaakov has land in Milwaukee and the house next door goes up for $19,000 and I say, hey, that's a great investment opportunity because you can't buy, you know, a square foot of land in Israel for $19,000, but here I can buy a whole house, right? I want to buy it. And Yaakov says, no, I want to buy it because I want to expand my already big Milwaukee house into a very big Milwaukee house. I want an extra big backyard, so I'm buying up that house. So Yaakov gets, first right, Dina, the halacha of Bar Mitzvah, he who lives on your border. Okay? Remember that, Sugya?
Yeah.
So look at Tosfot on Yud Bet Amud Bet. Tosfot says, Hema Luri. Let's look at Gemara first that he's commenting on. I'm jumping behind here. So the Gemara says, it's the two dots towards the end of the page, Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, Pshita, Chelek Bechor V'Chelek Pashut, Yavinan Le Echad Mitzra. It's obvious that when you give the Bechor his double portion, you give it contiguous. Right? You give it contiguous. Meaning, the father has four pieces of land, so, and he has three sons, so again, right, they're all equally sized, so for Eli, do the very complicated math here, four sons, four pieces of land, right? How does it divide it up?
Half
goes to the Bechor, the other two, exactly. So, and two of them are contiguous and two of them are not. So the halacha is, you give the Bechor to the two contiguous portions. Okay? Yavam v'chelek pashut, Yavin le echad mitzra, the same is true of Yavam and his inheritance. Yavamai, Amar Abaye, hihi. They're the same thing. My time b'chor kairi achmana, because he's a, we call him b'chor for certain purposes. And then the Gemara argues on this. Fine. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Tame the Rei the Rabba Amay Yitzrich Krab B'Chor Yavin Le Echad Mitzra." The Gemara says, the Tosfos said, "Why do you need a pasuk to tell me that you give a double portion to the consecutive double portion to the B'chor? Why does that require a separate pasuk?" The Omiri Refishelo Natan Lo Koch Hakatuv Ela Kishtei Achiv. Since he was given the power of two brothers, and if two of the brothers wanted to forge a partnership, we couldn't force the third brother to therefore allow these two brothers to get a contiguous land. The Bechor Matana Kariyei Rachmana, we're going to talk about tomorrow, is that the word used for Bechor is Matana. Is a gift. Kidamar b'yishlocha nechtiv latei lo b'yishnaim ve'ein lachuvin anotein l'vayinami ilav dekari rachmanu b'chor avimini yoko moshim v'achiv ki'ilu hu v'achiv kayamin, etc. Since it's called a present, so as we already saw, if you remember, does bar mitzvah apply by presents?
No.
No. Right? Because if you're giving a present, right? Correct. So what Tosfos says is there's two things. One is the reason you need a pasuk to tell you that a bechor gets a contiguous property is for two reasons. One is you might have imagined that the way you conceptualize bechor is that he's like two separate brothers. And just like if you have two brothers, right? Again, okay, I need to illustrate this to you. Let's say you have three brothers, okay? You have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon and Levi decide that they are going to join, they're going to merge their property so that they can, right, and make a joint venture, right? But in order to do that, they need Reuven to agree to let them take adjacent properties. So the halacha is you cannot force Reuven to let you do that. Why? Because you don't get Dina de Bar Mitzvah in that case because neither Shimon and Levi yet have ownership. Right, they're two separate brothers. Right, and therefore the fact that they want to own property next to each other is not Dina Bar Mitzvah. Right, that's not Dina Bar Mitzvah. Dina Bar Mitzvah is you already own a property, and then we give you the consecutive property. Right, we give you rights and contiguous property. But it doesn't say that I want to enter into a deal which requires me to live next to somebody else. Right, that doesn't work. So Tosfos says you might have thought that Bechor is like that. That basically, if someone has three sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, you don't imagine it as Reuven gets double plus Shimon and Levi. What you imagine is that Reuven and his alter ego, Reuven Prime, each inherit as if there were two sons, both named Reuven. You might have thought that. And if you thought that, so then, just like Shimon and Levi can't force Reuven to allow them to inherit consecutive, right, consecutive properties, Reuven and Reuven Prime can't allow you to, can't force the brothers to give them contiguous properties. Kamash Malan, that's not true. He can, right? You do give him double. That's answer one of Tosfot. Answer two of Tosfot is what? That since the Torah calls it matana, and gifts don't have the normal rules of Din Dvar Metra, you might have thought that a Bechor doesn't have the right to Din Dvar Metra. Kamash Malan, he does. Okay? Clear? The Nitivot HaMishpat, or the Nisivis, Rabbi Yaakov ben Yaakov Loiberbaum, we mentioned before, has a fascinating view based on this, right? He says, in Tosfot, who seem to be the actors that are giving the property, who are responsible to invoke the rules of Din and Bar Mitzvah? The brothers, not the father. Right? Right, what's the language? Just like Shimon and Levi couldn't force Reuven to give them a consecutive double property. You might have thought that a Bechor couldn't either. Kamash Milan, he can. What? He can what? What does it sound like? Force who to give him a double property that's contiguous? The brothers, right? Meaning the actors here are the brothers, right? Think about the parallel. Shimon and Levi can't force Reuven to let them inherit two contiguous properties. So you might have thought the same thing is true, that the Bechor can't force his brothers to let him inherit two contiguous properties. The answer is he can. But that means that according to Tosafot, it sounds like Bechor, the Chelek HaBechor, is not something that he gets Mimela. It's not something that he gets from the father. It sounds like it's something he gets from the brothers. Right? And that is what Nesivo says. The hatam de chelek bechoru bechiyuv al hayorshim. The rachmona chayve hayorshim litain matana zula bechor. The Nesivo says that bechor is a unique halacha. It's not a normal Yerusha that comes from the father, but rather it's a mitzvah on behalf of the brothers to grant extra property to their oldest brother. Right, that is a radically different conceptualization of...
You said, I mean, regular... I mean, if you're using that parallel, that means you take a regular Yerusha, that just that father to never the son's get is on the other brother.
No, not necessarily. It could be that only the Chelek HaBechor is. Well, because the Bechor is what uses the language of Matana. And the question is, who is the person giving it? The simple understanding is it's the father who's giving the gift to the Bechor. But the Nesivo says, no, it's the brothers, that the single inheritance comes from the father, and the conceptualization of Bechor is that the brothers have to give an extra portion of their inheritance to the oldest brother.
But like I'll say, Shimon can, like, force whatever that, so what that property he inherits is contiguous, right?
Shimon can't, Reuven can.
Both of them can.
No, only the firstborn can.
Not to their own.
To their own. They can. Yeah.
Right.
But not to each other.
Who can they force?
The brothers.
Therefore, they're not inheriting from the father. It's
the house. So you could read it that way, but he only says it by Bechor. So I don't know.
If you're gonna use that logic, I mean, you should say that by Bechor in general. You're not inheriting from the father. You're inheriting from the
Not necessarily. Right? Not necessarily. Right, because you could be saying that, no, you're right, you inherit from the father, but since the brothers have to divide it up, right, so if you already have land, so it's... But you're right. If you wanted to make that deal, if you could, he doesn't. I understand. Now, it happens to be that not everyone buys this deal. So if you look, for example, at Rameir Simcha, who's Rameir Simcha? His name is Rameir Simcha of Dvinsk, right? He lived in the 20th, right? Late 19th, early 20th century. He's more famous for his parish on Rambam and on the Torah than his parish on Shas.
Like
no. A knockoff of Pinsk? No, it's a city called Dvinsk. So what other books did he write? You've probably heard of his other books. The Or Sameach.
Yeah.
And the Meshech Chachma. Yeah, same guy. Right, so it's called the Or Sameach because his name was Meir Simcha, so Or Sameach, right, playing in his both his names. Yeah, those two. So Rameir Simcha, in his Peirush on Bava Basra, does not understand Tosafot this way, and he's this Tarchian Gadol, Hogabayavim Matana. He says, this makes no sense, because... Where does Yerusha come from? The father. Right? The Iwa no saying, Loa Yarshim. Vavimidat Stomagaba Yarshim. Right? Da da da. Right? Meaning he just doesn't understand this because he says, Mapitom, right? The brothers have nothing to do with this, it's from the father. Right? So Mirayash Nemcha does not understand it this way and rejects that. Okay. So that was question two that I wanted to deal with today, which was the question of, is it the father the main actor here, or is it the brothers? The last question I want to deal with, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I just want to raise it, is this question that's raised by Rav Shmuel, or Shmuel Rozovsky, in his Shurim. That's a very achronish question, but I did just want to raise it, and that is the following. Elavadai, the Yerush is Evet Ivri, Eina Bechor No Tol Pishnayim. His starting point is the question of, does the Bechor get double in Evet Ivri? Okay, and he says, no. Why not? Why does the Yerush of Evet Ivri not go to a Bechor? Meaning, he doesn't get double, he gets single. So he says several possibilities. The time of the milta, possibility one, yesh lomar kama ofanim. Chada yesh lomar di kamocha kol din yerusha nitmatu b'yerusha nevivri reyuat in de'ein gam din yerusha b'chor d'rak din shaben ika. Umashi b'chor noto b'shnayim u din yerusha nosaf. I'm saying, possibility one is that this is not normal yerusha. Remember, we said about Mamali Makom, right? And therefore, it's only sons who inherit, but not regular Yerusha, and therefore, the Bechor doesn't get it, because he may get a double portion, but he's not a double son. Answer one. Answer two. Odev Sharlomar, the Chevan Shechola Yorshim Nitzmatu Yerusha David Ivri, Imken Gam Mashaba Yen Yorsho Einzem Idin Yerusha. She says, possibility one is, it is Yerusha, but it's Yerusha with qualifications. Possibility two is that Evet Ivri isn't Yerusha at all. Mamali Makom isn't a subcategory of Yerusha. It's a special halacha. And therefore, of course, the Bechor doesn't get, because the Bechor gets a double Yerusha. But the fact that Evet Ivri turns the son is not even within Yerusha at all. It's there in the Kasuv in Evet Ivri. Eludin Milchad Ben Makom Avivkoi. Right, so possibility one is, it is a type of Yerusha, but Bechor is not really a regular Yerusha. Possibility two is that, no, Evet Ivri isn't really Yerusha at all. Right, it's Mamali Makom, which is not Yerusha, and that's why the Bechor doesn't get. Right, now what's the nafkam in between those two? According to answer two, there's no, right, according to answer one, well, according to answer two, the Bechor really should get double in anything that is Yerusha. It's just that this isn't Yerusha. Answer one is, it is Yerusha, but not all Yerusha does Bechor apply to, right? Those are not the same, right? Which we already know is true in other contexts, like in Ra'ui. The Chevan Shekein, Yishlomar, Damasha, Ben Notal, Machman, Aydina, Ina Bechor, Notal, Bishnaim, Didin Bechor, Urak, of Parshat Nachalo. And therefore, he doesn't get double because the Bechor only gets double Nachal. Lufizeh, afilu inema demash Bechor no bishnayim hu gam gim in Yerushat ben. Mikol mako macha gam ain't in Yerushat ben. So, Rishmuel puts it as follows. Here he says, according to the second formulation, is a Bechor notel like two sons? Yes. It's actually a double Yerushat ha-ben. Why does he not get Evet Ivri? Because Mamali Makom is not a Din Yerusha at all. According to the first formulation, no, Evet Ivri is a Din Yerusha Ben, but the Bechor doesn't get double Ben, he just gets double Yerusha. So basically, Rav Shmuel is telling you there's two ways of looking at Bechor. One is that it's a double Yerusha Ben, it's just that some things aren't Yerusha at all. The other one says that no, it's a double Yerusha, but only one of those is Yerusha Ben. The other is, right, as a Bechor is split. Half of him inherits as a Ben, and half of him inherits Shar Yerusha. Understand the difference? Yeah? Right, this is his Ulufizem, V'yich Gadu V'zim Tamachir. So that's answer one, answer two, which is, again, the question of whether he's a double Ben, or he's a Ben plus another Yerush. Right, how do you conceptualize it? Third possibility, the Yeshikadu was a Tamacher, Chim the Chor Matana Kariachmana, Vedavibri Arein, Onita Matana, Melan Lit Beit Din Bechor. The third answer is that maybe this has nothing to do with this. It has to do with the fact, and this is what we're going to talk about tomorrow, that the Yerusha of the Bechor isn't really Yerusha at all, it's a Matana. Right, so you have three possibilities. Is Bechor double son? Is it son plus regular Yoresh? Or is it Yerusha of a son plus Matana, which is equivalent to Yerusha? Okay? Got that? We're going to pick up on this tomorrow, because this is what we want to deal with tomorrow, which is the Gemara makes a big deal of this question that the Torah seems to call the Yerusha of a Ben a Matana. And therefore the question is, what does that do? Does that mean it's not really Yerusha at all, it's something else? Or does that mean it's a unique type of Yerusha, and what are the implications? That's what we're going to start looking at tomorrow. Right, but you see that Shmuel is already raising these three possibilities, right? That either it's a double Yerusha of a son, it's Yerusha of a son and other Yerusha, but still Yerusha, or that it's Yerusha plus Matana. Ulam mitzvah shenayim zalid kadam and tachinuch lochich v'yamech kol yorshim nadu rak ben yorshim v'komakam b'chor nozol pishnayim. But he says, and Chaschinuch holds that even in cases where only sons inherit and nobody else, the Bechor does get double. And this is a Gemara that I had mercy on you and I didn't give you, but really it's one of the better proofs that a Yerusha of a Ben is a unique Yerusha, and that is the case of Nazir, but now we're doing it, which is, the Nazir shehifrish ma'ot shtumim l'nizirato meit beno migalech aleihem. The Gemara says that if a father is a Nazir and his son is a Nazir, and the father sets aside money to buy karbanot for his Nazirut, and then dies, the son can use that money to buy his karbanot to be a Nazir, but only a son. Now that seems to not really be a din of Yerusha, it seems to be a din of, right, of special Yerusha, Mamali Malkum. That's why only the son can do it. It's yet another proof for the new Yerusha of son. The Minchas Chinuch says, and the Gemara there deals with the question of Bechor. Does a Bechor get, and says the Bechor gets Pishnayim in that money. So if a father has multiple sons who are a Nazir, so they can all use the money, but the Bechor gets double. From this, he says, what you learn is that the Minchas Chinuch believes that which of the three formulations is true. Is it that the Bechor is a double son, a son plus a regular Yoresh, or a Yerusha plus a present? Which one is it? No, a double son, correct. Right? Rishmuel says that based on the Chinuch, the fact that in the case of Nazir, where it's clearly Mamali Makom, it's playing on the unique Yerusha of sons, nevertheless, what does the Gemara say? That the Bechor gets double of that inheritance, right? So based on this analysis, from the Chinuch, what you see is that, at least the way he's understanding it, the Bechor is actually a double son. And therefore, whatever is unique about sons, the Bechor gets double of that. Okay? So what we've seen so far is the question of, let's review, is Yerusha Bechor a halacha or a mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah, is it only a mitzvah to say? Like a charedim or an ateh and a lo taseh? That's the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvot. If it's a mitzvah, is it only a mitzvah, or is it both a mitzvah and a halacha, and can you theoretically split between them? The Ramban splits and says it's a default in the halacha of Yerusha when the Bechor is dead, but it's also a mitzvah when he's alive. Therefore, if the Bechor is alive, it's the default and you can't change it if you want to. However, if the Bechor is dead, you can change it if you want to, but it is the default because the mitzvah doesn't apply, but the default does apply. The Ktos notes that the Maharit argues on this, though he may not have argued on this if he knew the Ramban said differently. The Ktos then raises the question, a few questions, which is, how does the Ramban get this out of the Gemara? Because once you raise the possibility that you have to deal with both cannot and may not, right, every time the Gemara raises the lo yuchal v'aker, you have to wonder, right, maybe by Bechor there's a mitzvah and a lack of ability, but by other cases there's just a lack of ability, but if you try, it's no mitzvah, and therefore he tries to defend that. Plus, he brings it into the conversation of how do you relate to the general rule of kol milta damar rachmana avid lo mahani, yavid mahani, yavid lo mahani, and that I didn't get into too much, but if you want to, I gave you the close to look at it. The next thing we did was, okay, who is really the mitzvah? On simple understanding, it's the son. However, this diokin tosvot by din de bar mitzvah seems to say that it's on the brother, right? On the brothers. And this is the way the Nesivos takes it. However, Remeir Simcha argues on this, right? And then the last thing that we saw is the Yisrael Shmuel Rizovsky, who has three possibilities how to conceptualize it. One is double son. One is son plus regular Yorish, and one is son plus Matana. For him, the Nafkamina is twofold. One, how do you understand the case of Eved Ivri? Is it that the reason a Bechor doesn't get Eved Ivri is because it's not Midin Yerusha at all? It's Midin Mamali Makom, and only a son is Mamali Makom. Or it is a din of Yerusha, but a Bechor gets one regular Yerusha and one Yerusha of a son, and Eved Ivri is Xeris Agazov in the Yerusha of a son. Or even more, it's just a Matana, and therefore obviously it doesn't have the halacha of Eved Ivri. However, he wants to argue that the most likely conceptualization is that he's a double son, proved from the case of Nazir that we didn't deal with, which was a father who's a Nazir with sons who are a Nazir, who leaves money, generic money, to be used for the carbonate of Nazir, where a regular Yoresh is not allowed to use it, but a son is, presumably because the son has a unique status of Mali Makom. In that case, as the Minchasana points out, if you say that the Bechor actually does get a double portion in the Nazirus, that proves the strongest possible formulation, that not only does the Bechor get a double Yerusha, but he gets a double Yerusha HaBen, because only the Ben has the special relationship with his father that he inherits double, that he can use the property for Nazirus. Okay? What we're going to do tomorrow is what he already dealt with, the third formulation that Shmuel said, which is that the Gemara sometimes implies that there's a unique status to Yerusha Bechor based on this phraseology of Matana. Because it says, when you give, so the Gemara therefore derives Matana Kar Yachmana. And what we're going to see is, okay, what exactly is the nature of the Yerusha Bechor? And what does it mean that it's a matana? What are the nafkamina of it? One of those that we're going to examine is the one we already touched on today, which is roi ki b'muchsak. But we're going to see several nafkaminas in the Gemara. We're going to see a fascinating Gemara in Bechorot about whether the chelek ha-bechor goes back to the brothers in Yovel. Right? Because normally Yerusha goes back to the heirs. Right? But not. So chelek ha-pashut obviously doesn't. Right? You don't redivide the amongst the brothers, right? Whatever they inherited, that's their ancestral land. It doesn't go back in Yovel. But the Gemara has a question, what about the Yerusha of the Bechor? Does the Bechor's double portion only last until Yovel or not? Right? So we're going to see some interesting implications of the possible unique status of Yerusha Bechor. Ezra's like, really? Yes, it's not even an Akram, Gemara and Bechor and Bet. So yes, what we're going to do is examine the unique status of Yerusha Bechor. That'll take us either 1 or 2 days. Looking at your eyes, I think maybe we'll do the break and do the Sota Sugya to take a break from Yerusha after that, right? And then maybe come back to Yerusha for whatever we have left in the year. But hopefully, we'll. I want to finish that, obviously, by Thursday, whatever we do, because Sunday we don't have Shir.
What's Sunday?
Erev Shavuot.
Oh, that's important.
No?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Sunday is Erev Shavuot. Monday is Shavuot. Tuesday, some of you are still keeping Shavuot. So it might be a sure quality on Tuesday, I'm not really sure. If it's not, we'll start the Sota Sugya Tuesday. If it's not, we'll start Tuesday. If it is, we'll start Wednesday. Okay? Yes, just to torment those of you who are keeping Sunday Shem Halacha. Okay, fine.